UK menopause expert and GP Dr. Louise Newson is so concerned about the lack of support for one ubiquitous life stage, she founded a charity to tackle it. I'd be very interested to hear what the Australian experience has been like for you. How have you gone trying to get help for menopause symptoms? When you go to a GP or a specialist, what's been the reaction? Has it worked for you? Has the treatment that you were given tallied with your needs? Louise Newson's new book is called The Definitive Guide to the Perimenopause and Menopause. Dr. Newson, welcome.
Oh, thanks for inviting me.
It's a great pleasure. This is something that comes up on the program from time to time, and we always get responses from people saying, I have this incredible range of symptoms. I really need help. Why are you so passionate about this area of medicine?
Well, it fits together with everything that I've done. I'm a physician. I'm not a gynecologist. I've also got a pathology degree. So I'm very interested in basic science. And when we think about our hormones, they go in our bloodstream and go everywhere, to all over our body. So the menopause isn't a gynecological disorder. It's actually more of a brain disorder, because we know that memory problems, brain fog, anxiety, low mood are actually more common symptoms than any of the other symptoms. But because it affects our brains, our hearts, our bones, everywhere in our body, it pulls together everything that I've learned in medicine. But I think what drives me actually is the stories that I hear every day of women suffering. In my clinic, I see women every day who are suffering and they improve with the right treatment. And I feel really sad for those women that aren't able to access the right treatment for them. So there's a huge amount of work that needs to be done. As you say, it's half the population, 1.2 billion menopausal women worldwide. And we know a lot of suffering is occurring and a lot of health risks are occurring because women are unable to access the right treatment, which saddens me. So I guess it drives me to keep working.
And there's a note in your book acknowledging that, you know, when you use the words woman, women and female, that you acknowledge that there are other genders who experience menopause as well. Louise, what was your experience like when you started experiencing symptoms that were slowing you down?
Do you know, it wasn't nice at all, but it was 7 years ago. I'm 52 now, so it was when I was 45, which is quite common to be perimenopausal. Most women are perimenopausal, which means hormones start to reduce and symptoms occur, but you still have periods. So I was 45, and what's really ironic about the whole thing is that I was actually developing a website, I was setting up a menopause clinic, I was a menopause specialist, but yet I was having all these symptoms, and 7 years ago the menopause wasn't talked about like it is now. So I was getting angry, irritable, my husband's breathing was annoying me, my children were annoying me, but also I was finding work really hard. I couldn't remember drug doses, I found it really difficult to concentrate at work. I kept looking at my examination couch and thinking, I just want to sleep. But then when I go to bed in the evening, I couldn't sleep. I sometimes had night sweats, but not often. I just was wide awake. Then I was worried and I was anxious and ruminating a lot. And I also do quite a lot of yoga, but I was having a lot of muscle and joint pains and felt that I'd aged quite quickly. But I thought it was because I was working hard with three children, a husband who's busy working a lot, long hours. And it went on for a few months, and I was actually really worried that something else was going on, but I was too scared to go to my own doctor. And it was one of my children, when she was a teenager, she just looked at me one day when I was shouting at her for no reason, actually. And she said, Mummy, I think you need your period because you're like some of my friends before their periods. And then I suddenly realized I hadn't had a period for quite a few months. And then I suddenly realized all these symptoms were probably related to my low hormones. And I hadn't given myself time to think. And then I tried to get help and treatment, and I couldn't from my local doctor because they wouldn't prescribe HRT for me. So I had to go elsewhere. And then I started to feel better, and then could then continue improving my lifestyle. But then, you know, I'm a white middle-class woman who speaks English, and I'm a doctor, and I'm a menopause specialist, and I couldn't get help. So every day, a lot of my work is thinking about how can we reach people who aren't so privileged as me, who maybe won't be able to vocalize and verbalize what they want when they go and see a doctor. So developing the Balance app has enabled women globally to receive information in a way that's really empowering them. And a lot of this, and a lot of my work, is about enabling women to make choices. based on having the right information.
Sue from Queen Beanne says, doctors were not much help really with regards to trouble with sleeping. I was given a leaflet on sleep hygiene and similar with weight gain. Another says, the response to debilitating heat waves such that I have to stop what I'm doing and remove layers of clothing even in winter from the doctor, use a fan. And there's actually an expletive in there that I won't repeat, but it sounds like that was a source of some passion and anger for that person. Dr. Louise Newson, you mentioned the Balance Menopause app. What might people using that app get out of it if they're perimenopausal or menopausal?
So it's a free app, and I developed it with a great team because I thought if I had enough, I might have been able to pick up my symptoms a bit earlier. So people can monitor their symptoms. There's a questionnaire on there that people can monitor as frequently as they want. Also, if they're having periods, they can monitor that. When you go onto the app, it asks you a few questions, and then there's a lot of information that will be bespoke to you about symptoms, about health risks of the menopause. And there's also ways that you can engage with some simple experiments to improve your exercise or maybe reduce some sugar in your diet, for example. There's a community section where lots of people engage with others, which they find very helpful. But the questionnaire, what you can do is create what's called a health report from it. And a lot of people then download them and give them to the healthcare professional because all the symptoms are graded, whether they're not there or they're severe. And for me as a healthcare professional, if someone comes, I don't have to then ask them all the questions about their symptoms. So a woman or a person can then go to their healthcare professional and say, look, this is my health report. These are my symptoms. I would like to spend the next 10 minutes talking about treatment choices rather than having the whole 10 minutes taken up with someone asking questions. So we've had great engagement. We found about 70% of women who use the app are able to get treatment. A lot of them say it's given them more confidence to ask for treatment and also more confidence in the workplace. But also people are telling us that their mental health and their physical health has improved. And for a lot of women, they don't know what's going on with their body. It's very scary when you can't think properly or you can't remember things. So to have that information, and it's a free app, and it's the section that's free is always going to be free. So it's really just to enable women to have more information on their fingertips.
We're speaking with Dr. Louise Newson, who's a menopause expert in the UK. Her new book out is called The Definitive Guide to the Perimenopause and Menopause. And a lot of people sharing their stories on our text line, Louise, and I guess reinforcing what you're saying about the difficulties getting treatment. Sonia says, I've had little to no help. I've Googled remedies, etc. Finally, I asked to be referred to an endocrinologist. I'm seeing them in May. I'm perimenopausal at 52 and listening intently as I've been wide awake since 1 a.m. Work will be fun today. Not. Balance app, Louise, just a quick question on that. People participating in that can become part of your research. How does that work and how are those results used?
Yeah, so we're collaborating with various universities in the UK. The app, the users of the app, we've got consent if they sign up to it that we can use their data anonymously. We're not going to be using any data for any marketing tools or anything like that. It's more to just try and advance science and even just looking at the commonly reported symptoms. Like I said, you know, the most common ones are actually brain fog, memory problems. There's nothing about hot flushes. That's later down in the list. So just enabling us to realise what are more common symptoms, you know, and we can also ask people, what do you want to know? And we've found already that a lot of people want to know about nutrition, they want to know about exercise. And so then we can give more information about that. And that's been really useful as well. We're trying to do more research looking at the benefits of hormones as well, not just improving symptoms, but improving future health, because we know that women who have low hormones have an increased risk of diseases like heart disease, osteoporosis and dementia. So really important conditions that we know taking HRT can reduce the risk of, but we want to do more research because, as you know, women's health research has been so neglected for far too long.
Yes, indeed. And I'll just give a quick note that the Australasian Menopause Society information suggests that it's too soon to tell about the use of MRT, HRT in preventing dementia. I know there's, you know, as you say, much more research needed and much discussion going on in clinical circles. Really interesting text, Louise. Menopause is not a disorder. And I guess a lot of people are saying, you know, this is a natural part of life. It happens to anyone living in a woman's body. And in Launceston in Tasmania says, I love the low estrogen, don't care attitude, which is so new and so very welcome. Will all women need hormone replacement therapy at midlife?
No, so I think like with anything, it's about choice. I think knowing understanding is really important. So yes, you could say that menopause is for most women, not all, a natural transition, if you like, in that it happens as we age. But also as we age, we increase risk of high blood pressure, but we treat that because we want to reduce the risk of a heart attack. We know from very well established studies that women who are menopausal, the longer they are without their hormones, the higher the risk they have of diseases. But there are other ways of reducing diseases like diet and exercise, but you can't replace hormones other than taking HRT. You don't have to take a blood pressure lowering treatment or a cholesterol lowering treatment. It's a complete choice. But what we need to do is allow people to be able to make that choice based on decisions. There are also a lot of women, around 1 in 100, have an early menopause under the age of 40. And we know that from great studies that there is a higher risk of diseases for these women. And the guidelines are very clear that these women should consider HRT at least until the age of 51. My youngest patient was 14 when she was diagnosed as menopausal. So young women really need to be thinking about hormones. And older women, it's about choice. We know there are more benefits than risks from taking HRT. We know that taking HRT lowers risk of diseases, and the risk of breast cancer for many types of HRT actually isn't there. So nothing in medicine is... You have to say is absolutely not allowed, or everyone has to take. You know, in childbirth, which is a natural process, people are given painkillers, but they don't have to take them. But we also know that the menopause has been medicalized in other ways. A lot of women we see in my clinic are given they're given antidepressants, they're given sleeping tablets, they're given painkillers for their muscle and joint pains, they're given blood pressure lowering treatment because our blood pressure can raise without our hormones. So we have to think about, you know, it's not just HRT that's the medication for menopause. People are being medicalized in the wrong way as well. So it's part of a bigger picture. We need to just look at what are the risks of not giving HRT rather than what are the risks of giving it, and we really shouldn't take it. But it's about choice. You know, we choose whether we dye our hair or not, whether we drink alcohol or not, whether we drive a car or not. And it's the same with HRT. It just needs to be based on the available evidence that's right for that individual.
It's a text. I can't keep up with them, Louise. There are so many people asking questions and sending comments through as well. Is the app useful for postmenopause too? I'm told I am postmenopause, but I still have the symptoms of sleeplessness, hot flushes and anxiety. And I would like to add to that question, Louise, not just is the app useful for postmenopause, but is there a time limit on how long you can, when you can start hormone therapy? Is that going to be useful for someone who's been told they're postmenopausal?
So if you look at the definition of the menopause, it just means a year after period stop, which is a bit of a weird diagnosis. Most things in medicine you can diagnose on the day. But all the menopause is really referring to is that our hormones are not being produced by our ovaries. Our ovaries stop working with time. A lot of people don't have periods anyway if they're using a contraception, for example, or they've had a hysterectomy. So a lot of women after that time, then they refer to it as being postmenopausal. But after the menopause, or after our hormones aren't being produced, our ovaries don't start again. So we have low hormones forever. So the postmenopausal period lasts forever. So a lot of women find that their symptoms might improve with time or change with time, but they're always going to have these health risks. And so when you look at HRT, the benefits usually outweigh the risks, but we're allowed to review people every year, and the guidelines say that if the benefits still outweigh the risk, you can continue taking HRT. So for most women, they do continue taking it forever because of the benefits. And Certainly, for a lot of women who are concerned about osteoporosis, which affects one in two women over the age of 50, we know from very many studies that it reduces risk of osteoporosis. We also know it reduces risk of cardiovascular, so heart disease as well. So there isn't a time that people have to stop taking HRT.
And we've had someone text in with a note that you make in your book too about breast cancer patients. They say breast cancer patients can end up in induced menopause earlier than expected. I did, but we need proper discussion re-HRT if hormone-driven cancer. And I know it's not recommended if you've got a hormone-driven cancer. And as Louise mentions in her book, you need to talk to your doctor about any change to your healthcare regime. We're speaking with Dr. Louise Newson, a GP, a renowned menopause specialist in the UK. Her book's called The Definitive Guide to the Perimenopause and Menopause. One in favour of the app. I just downloaded it a few weeks ago, so helpful. Another pointing out that there's an Australian app for early menopause too. It's called Ask Early Menopause. If you search that, you'll find it, Ask Early Menopause. Please ask about bioidentical HRT, says Liz in Canberra. I tried allopathic HRT, which pushed my estrogen to dangerous levels and seriously messed with my body and moods. I've been on bioidentical HRT for around 15 years and haven't looked back. Now, I think, Louise, there's bioidentical hormones that are marketed in Australia as more natural and perhaps body identical in the UK. Can you comment on, I know they're not recommended by the International Menopause Society. Why is that?
So it can be very, the terminology can sometimes be a bit confusing. So body identical actually just means they look the same hormones as the ones we produce ourselves. And we usually refer to them as regulated bioidentical hormones. So in the past, so the study, the big Women's Health Initiative study 20 odd years ago that scared everyone away from HRT used it. Synthetic hormones. So actually the estrogen was derived from pregnant horses' urine and it was tablet, and the progesterone part was synthetic, so chemically made type of progesterone. We've advanced, thankfully, in HRT. And so now we prescribe the natural progesterone and the natural estrogen. The estrogen we normally give through the skin as a patch, gel or spray, so there's no risk of clot. But some people, some clinics prescribe compounded bioidentical hormones, which mean that they are made by compounding pharmacists. They don't have the same regulation as the regulated products that we prescribe. So they are not recommended because we don't know exactly what's in them. We see some people in our clinic who've been on them and they have either very low or very high doses of hormones. They're not always absorbing well. So it is recommended to look for regulated products by a healthcare practitioner.
Yes, indeed. We're talking with Dr. Louise Newson about a whole range of experiences around perimenopause and menopause. And I'm keen to hear what kind of response you've had when you've taken your symptoms, which might be confusing and diverse and very extreme or mild, possibly in the same consultation, to a doctor or a specialist. What have they said to you? Have you got the treatment that you need that's worked for you? Louise, many women report going to the doctor during this life stage with low mood, but also other symptoms, and they're not offered hormone therapy, they're offered antidepressants. What's going on there?
Well, as I've said, mood changes can be very common during the perimenopause and menopause. So a lot of people have low mood, they feel quite flat, they can be quite anxious. A lot of people say to me that they feel joyless, they feel empty, their zest for life has gone. And understandably, if you go to a doctor and say, look, I'm waking in the morning, I feel really flat, I'm not interested in anything, I've got no energy, then obviously these can be symptoms of depression, but they're also very common symptoms of the perimenopause or menopause. So it's important actually for women to empower themselves with knowledge and think, well, could it be my hormones? Have I got any other symptoms? And sometimes it's a bit similar to the symptoms that you experience a day or two before your periods, which again is when hormone levels are low. So if you think it might be related, then it's worth thinking about hormones before antidepressants. And the guidelines are very clear that antidepressants shouldn't be used first line for low mood associated with the perimenopause or menopause. Obviously, some women can have clinical depression, in which case antidepressants would be appropriate. But we also know from the research that antidepressants work better when women have estrogen in their body as well. So two can be prescribed together. Often we know that giving HRT, sometimes with testosterone, can actually really make a big difference to people's mental health, which makes sense because we have receptors for cells in our brains which respond to both estrogen and testosterone, and they work as neurotransmitters, so chemicals, they're chemical messengers between cells in our brains, and they affect serotonin, our happy hormone, dopamine, our reward center of our brain. And so there's lots of networks, pathways that are going on in our brain that are lit up with hormones. And for some women, it can be very transformational for their mood, having the right dose and type of hormones.
Yes, it's interesting about that sense of transformation, isn't it? Because we are getting people reminding us that not all people experiencing menopause and perimenopause will find it so horrific, and that they actually find it interesting life phase.
Some people are fine. Yeah, it's very interesting, and we're trying to look at some of the genetics and behind why is it that some women, you know, we see every day in our clinic, we listen to women who actually have suicidal thoughts, who are very low in their mood. And other women say, no, I didn't even notice. I wouldn't tell you when my periods had stopped. But that's the same with any other diseases as well. You know, some people suffer migraines, others don't. Some people have, you know, arthritis, others don't. So, you know, our bodies are not all the same. And so that's why it's very important, though, that women are listened to in a very individualised way.
Well, and that's interesting too, isn't it, Louise? Because in Australia, research has shown that often GPs and other women's health specialists even don't feel knowledgeable enough about hormone therapy to prescribe it. If that is happening in the UK, and I'm getting the impression from your book that it is, what's going on there? Is that about the training that they're receiving or entrenched attitudes? What's your thought?
Yeah, I think women's health hasn't been a huge priority for many years, and certainly menopause education hasn't been. I never had any formal menopause training as an undergraduate or postgraduate. It's sort of been a bit of a Cinderella specialty that has been given to gynecologists, really, but actually it's not really a gynecological problem, because for most women they're not having periods or any problems of their gynecological organs. And so it really should be thought of that I very strongly think that every doctor who sees adults should know about it, because we see a lot of women who have been seeing cardiologists for their palpitations or neurologists for their rheumatologists for their joint pains, and no one's really connected the dots. So education is really crucial. We've developed an education program that's already been downloaded. It's a free education program by over 30,000 healthcare professionals, and the feedback we've had from that has been incredibly positive, and people have then got more confidence not just to diagnose but also treat in the right way.
I guess a lot of people listening to this might be thinking, okay, the hormones are an option and they sound like they work really well for some people. What about non-hormone treatments? Are there lifestyle changes I can make that might ameliorate some of those symptoms?
Yeah, so I think it's really important to think it's not HRT or nothing. It's not one or the other. HRT replaces the missing hormones, but also there's no point, for example, me taking HRT and eating chips for breakfast and drinking three bottles of whiskey before I go to bed. I'm not going to be as healthy as I am because I don't have those lifestyles. So it's a really important time, the menopause, because for many people, it can last for decades. If you're menopausal at age 50, average age of death for women might be eight in their 80s. So 30 years, you know, a third of our lives or more will be without hormones. So HRT is obviously a choice, but that's not the only treatment. We need to be thinking about our diet, our nutrition, what we're eating, looking at our sugar intake, looking at not having as many ultra-processed foods. We need to be exercising regularly. We need to look after our mental health as well. So well-being is really important. Looking at our relationships, really important as well. It's a really crucial time that we look how we can make this a time when we have the best version of ourselves. And everyone's different. You know, I choose to do yoga regularly. Other people choose to go running. We all can make choices. And I think this is what's so important. And menopause care can get very inflammatory between people about this whole hormones or not. Actually, let's just give women a choice and they can decide what they want. Women are quite clever and they can decide when they've got the right treatment.
Yes, indeed. I was afraid you were going to say something like that about processed foods. But as you say, we all have our choices and we yeah, choose our sure. priorities. Dr. Louise Newson, you have spent a long time really engaged with trying to get better support for women and change the thinking in the medical profession in the UK where you are. What's the next battle, do you think, to be fought for women going through this life stage?
Well, I think this is still a huge battle. It all sounds like I'm doing great work, but every day I get a lot of... There's a lot of toxicity. There's a lot of bullying going on. I think it's been like this for the history for women, actually. You know, we look back in history and see how women have been treated or mistreated. You know, you look at the derivation of the word hysteria related to hysterectomy. You know, women are not being listened to. And if it's not menopause, it's other women's health conditions such as endometriosis. You know, time and time again, we see and hear it. But the bigger picture is looking at research. We're starting to do research, but we desperately need more funding to do proper research. You know, my big priority is looking at the brain, looking at mental health associated with hormones, looking at dementia risk. Like you say, there aren't good quality studies to say HRT is preventative for dementia, but we know that there's an increased risk of dementia without hormones. So we need to join the dots and do just some sensible research to just take the narrative forward so we can help people in future generations so there's less suffering and improvement of health, actually, and less diseases globally for women would be great.
Yes, indeed. They sound like very worthy goals. Dr. Louise Newson, really good to chat to you today. Thank you for your time.
Oh, thanks for inviting me.
A pleasure. Dr. Louise Newson is a GP, a renowned menopause specialist in the UK. Her new book's called The Definitive Guide to the Perimenopause and Menopause. And next week on Life Matters, we'll take a look at the Australian situation too, how well GPs and specialists are supporting people going through this massive life change here. Many, many texts. I'll leave you with a couple. I'm 80 years old this year. HRT has been amazing and it certainly helps in my sex life. Another one. Oh, yes, joyless. That's the symptom. And low libido. And a couple of people saying, you know, the experience differs. I had endometriosis, incredibly painful, while the hormone fluctuations of perimenopause were really tough. Now I'm in menopause. I feel so much better. I do have to take statins for early heart disease and another drug for late diagnosed ADHD, but I don't miss my menstruation and cramps at all. I mostly love menopause. That's from Lisa. Lisa in Geelong.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.